From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Dan Zadella and Matt Blank from the Slackwater News. This Lancaster band is self-described as landing somewhere between indie rock and freak folk. Whatever you call it, it's working. In the wake of their latest album, the self-produced six-song Graveyard Mates that was released on Halloween 2012, the band's live show has been worked over and is turning heads well beyond Lancaster.
One of the things that we've really done a lot recently, which is, now I don't want to downplay our record, but one of the things we're really excited about is we've really kind of reevaluated our songs, and we've made them all a little bit more economical. And I think that maybe hopefully comes through with our live show. It's a little bit more of a rocking powerhouse instead of rambling.
Coming up, Dan Zadella and Matt Blank from the Slackwater News. And we take a modern look at classic albums with John Modern. This month, John shares his thoughts about the 1975 debut album Horses from Patti Smith. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Coming up this weekend, Saturday, February 23rd, two house concerts in Lancaster to choose from. Ruby Red House Concerts presents Philly-based singer-songwriter Christopher Bond, and Live from the Cellar welcomes the Vulcans with special guest and Wood Stove House contributor Mike McMonagall. You can find out more about both of these concerts at the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. Wood Stove House is proud to welcome the Laura Cortese Trio along with Dietrich Strauss to the Community Room on Wednesday evening, February 27th. Dietrich is a Lancaster native who has been living and touring out of Boston for the past several years. He and Laura's string trio are currently on tour and will be making a rare appearance here in his hometown. Doors open for the BYOB event at 7 p.m. There's a suggested donation of $15 and all proceeds go to the musicians. It's Laura Cortese and Dietrich Strauss at the Community Room, 19 North Prince Street, directly above Prince Street Cafe on Wednesday, February 27th. Doors at 7, music at 8. Here's Jean Louise from Dietrich Strauss on Around the Wood Stove.
Wake up, scout, there's something smoking in the trees. The nightingales are fleeing and the mad dogs are in the street. Papa's got the answers and your brother thinks he knows. The neighborhood's on fire, the camellias are frosted cold. Bells on your ankles and the belfries in the ground. Lilacs and violets and a shotgun blast. The mockingbirds and whispers like the sky before the flash. The neighborhood's lit up bright. And all the town is shooting wild.
That's Jean Louise by Dietrich Strauss. Dietrich will be at the Community Room on Wednesday, February 27th for a special concert with the Laura Cortese Trio. Check out the show post for details. It's time to take a modern look at classic albums with John Modern, professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl on WFNM 89.1 here in Lancaster. This month, it's the 1975 debut album Horses from Patti Smith. Here's John Modern.
So we got Patti Smith's Horses. Patti Smith's Horses. An album that came out in, the fall of 1975. And this is an album that's very iconic. It has a picture of Patti Smith taken by Robert Mapplethorpe. This kind of androgynous figure of Patti Smith with the suspenders and the white-collared shirt and the jacket over her shoulder. Very famous. But this is an album. I'm just going to start by saying I was going through the albums today going, well, what can I talk about? And I think I've come to the conclusion that this possibly is my favorite album. I think it's an album that automatically it can make me cry. And it makes me cry every time I hear it. At some point during the album, I'll well up in tears. And I think there's a reason why, as I was thinking about this album today, because it's an album that I think is suffused with the desire for transcendence. It is an album that is seeking to get out, move beyond, move away someplace else, right? It's just this kind of, it's joyous, it's sad, it's somber, it's all different kinds of emotions, but the general thrust of the album is to escape. What can I say to start with? It was an album produced by John Cale, 1975. It has a couple of guest appearances by Tom Verlaine of Television and Alan Lanier of Blue Oyster Cult. In a lot of ways, a lot of critics and a lot of people, and I think rightly, name Horses as this album that ushered in and inaugurated a kind of punk music aesthetic in the United States. Although the album itself is not, it has punkish elements. It doesn't sound like anything like a mid-70s to a late-70s punk album, but it's raw, it's spare, it's kind of a lo-fi, kind of a do-it-yourself sort of feeling to it. But what is so amazing about this album, 1975, right? Rock and roll has been around for, what, 2 decades or so? Yeah. It's this moment, I think, in the culture and also within rock and roll where people begin to realize that this youth culture, this culture that is basically premised upon young kids having money and free time, which begins, you know, in earnest in the 1950s, and rock and roll sort of comes up and accompanies that sort of youth culture, and it gives it some place to channel its energy. By the 1970s, that culture is getting old. The kids are getting old. The tradition's getting old. There's a certain way in which rock and roll is beginning to become very self-conscious of itself.
Yeah, right. Because the original rock and rollers are now in their 30s.
Yeah, there's or even 40s.
Or even 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the musicians.
The
would
musicians
be in
their 40s and 50s.
The fans, the original fans who were teenagers in the 50s, are now, you know, mid to late 30s.
Yeah, and their kids are doing the same thing. And so there's this kind of weird moment where Patti Smith enters into it, and she, you know, she gets her. You know, she's a poet. She does a live kind of poetry accompanied by music in the early 70s, an artist in a lot of ways. And so she sort of, you know, moves sideways into this kind of rock and roll genre. But probably the most famous song on the album is the first song on the first side, which is a song appropriately titled Gloria, which on one level is a cover of the very famous Van Morrison Gloria, G-L-O-R-I-A, by them, 1964, covered by many bands, including The Doors in the late 60s. You know, this kind of classic rock and roll garage song, right? It's a song about, rock and roll in a lot of ways, distilling the kind of, at least the sex part of rock and roll and the kind of male gaze, right? Mm. I see her walking down the street. I'm looking at her, you know, this kind of male conquest kind of thing. And so she starts off with this song, Gloria, which on one level is a cover of that, but at the same time, it's a cover of Gloria in Excelsis Deo, Glory to God in the Highest, right? The oldest of old, you know, Christian hymns, Glory to God in the Highest. It goes back 2 millennia, right? And so this song starts with the line, Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Melton in a pot of thieves, wild card up my sleeve, thick heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me. A declaration, right? And a declaration of theological weight. Right, there's this idea that it's not a rejection of a dominant Christian tradition. Jesus died for somebody's sins, not mine.
Right,
not mine. And if it's really interesting, if you go back and look at the interviews surrounding this album, Patti Smith at this point, she, you know, very young at this stage, talks about rock and roll as a religion.
Oh.
She's like, you know, rock and roll is her religion, she says. And she says that her gods are the Mick Jaggers and the Jim Morrisons of the world because the old gods don't speak to her or her generation anymore. And a lot of people read this and see it as simply metaphor. You know, she wants to say something about rock and roll, so she compares it to a religion as if it's like a religion. But Patti Smith says it is a religion. The tradition is a religious tradition for her. And I always tell people when Patti, you know, you should, when Patti Smith says something, you should believe what Patti Smith says. And so what I'm getting at here is that in this song, Patti Smith begins her album with this kind of theological declaration of an alternative religion that is on the horizon. She starts off taking one of the classic staple songs, foundation songs of the tradition,
right,
and she remakes it. This is another song that has to be talked about for a moment. It's a song called Land. It's like Gloria in the sense of the way in which it takes a kind of tradition of rock and roll and compresses it and compacts it into this other kind of thing. But basically, it's a riff on one level, the song Land of a Thousand Dances. Mm. Kind of Fats Domino song, you know, the very famous kind of starts 1, 2, 3, and it, you know, it has lines like "Got to know how to pony like Boney Maroney, do the mashed potato, do the alligator." You know, it goes through a list of all these kind of mid to late 50s sort of rock and roll songs that you can dance to. Very, very happy, very poppy kind of rock and roll rendition. And what Patti Smith does in this song is to take what, on one level, is that kind of innocent sort of almost nostalgic, sentimental vision of 1950s rock and roll. Well, you know, they're shaking their hips, they're kind of getting a little crazy, and they're singing about fun, but there's something, I don't want to say dark, but there's something, let's say existential about rock and roll, right?
Okay.
There's something about the way in which a lot of these songs are about erotics, they're about death, they're about the limits of the human in a lot of ways, and they're masked in a lot of ways, I think, by either the artists themselves or the reception or the memory of those moments. But what Patti Smith does in this song is to sort of distill and to bring out these darker currents, I think, in rock and roll.
Suddenly, Johnny gets a feeling he's been surrounded by horses. Twist.
fascinating stuff.
It is good. It's good. I get very excited about this album. You can see why my tears come so easily.
It's the Church of Patty.
The Church of Patty. That's right.
Maybe she should be the Pope.
That is the best idea I've heard all day. Now that is good. That's really good. She should be the Pope.
That's a modern look at classic albums with John Modern, talking about the 1975 debut album Horses from Patti Smith. John is a professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl, along with Jeremy Seedorf on WFNM 89.1. Sit back and relax with Solid Side Vinyl every Thursday night from 9 to 11 at 89.1 on your FM dial.
Big old tree, so tall you never realize. The hardwoods pulverize. Ooh, decay inside the fruit. Ever since it was a flower, gets even sweeter by the hour. Ooh, sweetness comes with decay. My finest day, it's already begun. Though my web is spun, I am just dust, waiting to be rearranged in a constant state of change.
That's a song called Decay from today's featured guests. The Slackwater News is a Lancaster band that formed over many years of playing together in a variety of projects, some of which date back to high school. Over the past 5 years or so, the band has been working hard and honing their craft. The latest documented version of the music was released last Halloween on a 6-song EP called Graveyard Mates. But the evolution continues, and their well-crafted live show is a peek into what's to come for the band well into the future. Don't hesitate to catch a show whenever you can. It's the Slackwater News on Around the Wood Stove. Joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Dan Zadilla and Matt Blank from Slackwater News. Thanks, guys, for stopping by to talk about the band and this relatively new album, Graveyard Mates, came out last fall. Let's start with the band. I just want to get a history. I don't know a lot about the story of Slackwater News, and so I'd like to hear, you know, just a little bit about the origin of the band, how it started.
I guess, long story short, myself and Matt Johnson, the guitar player, and JJ, the bass player, have been playing together on and off in bands for years. I started a project and had recruited Dan Ramirez, the keyboard player, a few other guys, including Matt Blank here on drums, and another bass player, Hans. And then we got Matt Johnson playing with us, and eventually we were looking for a new bass player, and JJ, who we'd played with for years, kind of came in and joined us. So we're just a bunch of people who've known each other for a long time, pretty much, who were doing other things and just came together, yeah.
And this new album is the second album, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of you guys, I guess, for a few years, but yeah, really in the last year, things have seemed to ramp up.
You know, I think it's JJ, our new bass player, and it's not, I think it's just... when we got a new person in the band, it kind of made us reevaluate things. I'm not saying that it's like things were not good before. I think it was just a fresh person who kind of gave us a fresh perspective. And we're like, what are we doing with our time? And I feel like, I don't know, just the new person. JJ's got a great work ethic, and I think he just kind of kicked us into shape a little bit as far as, you know, working on stuff, thinking things out. I just feel like we're a little bit more streamlined, and I just think we sound better.
Absolutely. Or more critical in a good way.
Yeah. We've been doing more things and...
Mm-hmm. The first time I saw you play was at World Cafe last month in January for the Central Pennsylvania Showcase, and your live set just completely floored me and all of those around me. Talk about the live show a little bit and how it differs from the studio.
Our studio tracks are a little older. They're kind of a record of what we were doing a while ago. One of the things that we've really done a lot recently, which is, now I don't want to downplay our record, but one of the things we're really excited about is we've really kind of reevaluated our songs, and we've made them all a little bit more economical. And I think that maybe hopefully comes through with our live show. It's a little bit more of a rocking powerhouse instead of rambling. We used to ramble a lot, and I think now we're a little bit more economic.
How do you mean ramble?
I don't think ramble's the right word. I think though at our core, we've gotten back to really analyzing things in a critical way and making the songs more effective. You know, we had a lot of parts to our songs. They're different, and that's the beautiful thing about them. But sometimes we maybe got carried away with parts. We didn't need every part, and we've started to go back and put them under the microscope a little bit and arrange them and really cut them down a little bit more, where we feel like this is where the song is, you know.
Specifically with a live show, one specific example would be, like, you know, I play rhythm guitar and sing, but we have a keyboard player and we have a killer other guitar player. So lately I've just been playing a lot less and focusing on singing and, you know, playing what I need to play. But, you know, do we always need another guy strumming along? You know what I mean? Just filling out the mid ranges with more sound. So just that in general, we've all been kind of thinking that way. What do we need to do? What do we not need to do? And I think I appreciate you saying that. I think it's helped our live show a lot.
Shake it out soon. I'm walking out your door. Ooh-hoo, anybody home? You've been up for break dawn. Now time just dwindles on. You know how to play the game, but you know a little more than you ever let on. Do you? I don't really know.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located at the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, it's Dan Zadilla and Matt Blank from the Slackwater News talking about their latest release, Graveyard Mates, on Around the Wood Stove.
This new album, it's an EP, six songs, Graveyard Mates. Is there an intentional concept or thread running through this?
I think that concept might just be my sensibilities.
Your fascination with death. And
you know, I don't feel like I'm that kind of guy. I don't come across as that kind of guy, but I do. I kind of think that I often think of that as something beautiful. That sort of, I think Decay kind of sums up the song Decay kind of sums up what I often find to be beautiful or work into art I, you know, work on. So yeah, I guess there's a little bit of that thread running through it, but it wasn't intentional.
So. That's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, we sort of noticed it as we were working on it. You know, it wasn't like never crossed
but
our minds.
But you didn't set out to write an album.
We didn't set out to write it.
Let's get into some of these songs. We'll start with the track "The Dupe." Tell me about that song.
That song was written by Matt Johnson, the guitar player. He is a dupe, and he's the dupe, I guess. So, written from personal experience.
We always say that we write from real experiences, so
true stories.
You might have to email him about that one.
Yeah, well, that's a super fun song to play. I think it's the recording's great. Pretty good. I like the recording live. It's just kind of like a screamy,
yeah,
you know, balls out.
I think it taps into what, you know, we're not about notes as much, or the right notes more than many notes, and I think that one really taps into just trying to let it all hang out.
We try to play the right notes, for the record.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just to edit that out. Let's establish.
Yeah, right. Let the record show it.
I'm just a dupe on the other end of an international phone call. That's all.
say there's an ocean between us. Oh, but I don't have to worry. And now some English guy's got your ear, oh dear.
It's The Dupe from today's guests, the Slackwater News. At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. And now back to our conversation with Dan Zadella and Matt Blank from the Slackwater News on Around the Woodstove.
How about the song Ghosts? Now, there's a cool video for this that I saw. Was there a tie-in with the record coming out? And that?
Yeah, we released it right before the record came out.
Yeah, it was about a week or two before. A couple places picked it up. XPN put it out on their blog, and Relics Magazine, if you're familiar with that. Not, obviously not Rolling Stone or anything like that, but yeah, we're trying to take this to the next level, which is doing a professional package deal of the music, I guess. Not that we looked at it that way when we were creating them, but when it came time to put everything together, it just made sense. And then we put it out on Halloween. The album itself came out on Halloween, so the ghost theme and the graveyard meets theme. I mean, it kind of ended up working out perfectly and coming together like it was all meant to be that way, but it just never actually started that way.
The video is really cool. Tell me about the process of making that.
We're super happy with the video, and we can brag about the video because I don't feel guilty bragging about it because it wasn't really us. It was our good friends Jess and Josh Goodyear. They're just, you know, they're filmmakers. They're super talented, and it was them, and I think Johnson had a lot of input on it, but you know, they express interest in making a video. We were super excited by it, and we sent them a bunch of songs. They chose that song, and the whole concept of the video, it was their, you know, mostly their idea. They provided the film equipment, and we just kind of went along with their great idea, which was, you know, me as sort of this rambling hobo who like finds this old house, and I start playing a guitar, and there's like all these ghosts in the house, and they want to kill me and make me part of their ghost band. It's super campy and fun and well produced. I mean, it was super fun to make.
It's great.
And then we watched it, and I was floored. I thought they did a great job.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Yeah, they did an awesome job. But all the credit to them. I mean, we were just the happy faces. And
I mean, I love the track.
Yeah, absolutely. But they took it to their own cool level. It was the kind of thing that we never would have been able to put together a video like that ourselves. Yeah. They did such a cool job. And we're hoping now with this next one to do another video. And I think they're going to go under the name Liquid Squid if they don't yet.
Yep.
So just a shout out to them, Liquid Squid Productions in Baltimore.
And I'll link up to the video in the show post for the episode.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a fun song. It's a fun video. Yeah, it really came out well.
Yeah.
There are ghosts in this house. Thought was sweet enough to appreciate time. My love spent on the wall. There is time in this life. Said, walk with me, Daniel. They were so sorry. Kingdom fell. I couldn't believe my eyes. To my surprise, there is room in this house.
That's a track called Ghosts from the Slackwater News on Around the Woodstove.
Tell me about your favorite experiences live with this band. Matt, we'll start with you.
We played with Gene Ween, if you're familiar with the name. The band Ween, from New Hope, PA, but they had a big go at it in the 90s.
I remember Ween area. Yeah.
Well, Gene Ween, they were characters of sorts, but Gene Ween was the lead singer, and then Dean Ween was a guitar player. But we got to open up a show, Gene Ween solo show, where he played mainly solo, also with a bass player a little bit. But he came out and played Sexy Sadie with us, the Beatles song, beforehand. Even before everyone got there, we got to like run through it with him. Nice. So that, just that, and we got to meet him. And I was just, I've been a nerd and like a big fan. So the idea that you could feel when he stepped on that stage, the energy rise. It was at the ABC in Harrisburg. It wasn't some huge venue, but it was sold out. So there's like 400, 500 people there.
Yeah.
But you could feel, Ween's fans aren't known for their fondness of bands that aren't Ween.
Yeah.
So they weren't too happy with us, but the second he stepped on the stage, you could feel just the energy rise. It was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
How about you, Dan?
I wish I didn't have to follow that, because that's... Well, I'll say something else, but just to trail off that, that was one of the best one of the best moments of my life. I'd been a Ween fan for years, and I've like idolized this weird Gene Ween guy, you know, and then to like be playing guitar and look over at him, and he's singing "Sexy Sadie," which is one of my favorite songs, and acting all weird, and you know, 2 feet away from me, and people are cheering. That was
insane. That was
amazing. That's also on YouTube. You should check that out. Other than that, I think that one of my favorite moments with the band that I can remember specifically was we were sort of talking about how we've been rethinking things. And I think the first show we played since we really sort of reevaluated our live show, I remember just feeling like, wow, this is incredible. You know, I think that I was focusing more on singing and less on playing guitar, and just we had the new bass player, and I just really felt a new energy. And I remember specifically that show being like, wow, this is a big step forward for us.
Thanks so much, guys, for stopping down and chatting about the new record. Well, the relatively new record, mm-hmm. and the band, and the future of the band. I wish
Thanks
you all the best.
Thank you.
Look forward to having you back on when you get the new album out.
Cool.
And good luck with the shows. Good luck with everything that's going on.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Find out all about the Slackwater News at their website, slackwaternews.com. You can also link up from the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.